Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, whether you are joining us in person or online. I hope by this point in the morning that this isn't the first time you are hearing about this, but I am deeply saddened to say that Robin Beck died last night. He and Karen were getting ready for bed, and they don't know if he had a heart attack or a pulmonary embolism, but he died at home. Karen is, of course, as you can imagine, devastated. She was still quite dependent on Robin to help her get through the recovery of her knee replacement, but Anissa is on her way and will hopefully be over there by the time we are finished with worship today. And Chris is flying in this evening. Certainly there have been no arrangements even considered, but as soon as we know anything in that regard, we will let you all know. In the meantime, please pray for Karen and pray for their whole family. This is the first time that I have had the death of a congregation member where the very next thing that I do is lead worship, and where we come to worship together. It seems like of all the deaths we've experienced this past year, we've had a little bit of time to process and maybe even try to make sense of it. But since this has just happened and our hearts are so raw, I'd like to offer a prayer of commendation. Robin, our companion in faith and brother in Christ, we entrust you to God. Go forth from this world in the love of God who created you, in the mercy of Jesus Christ who died for you, in the power of the Holy Spirit who strengthens you, at one with all the faithful, living and departed. May you rest in peace and rise in the glory of your eternal home, where grief and misery are banished and light and joy abide. Let us pray. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Robin. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy and into the blessed rest of everlasting peace and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen. In times like these, it's hard for our minds to make sense of the shock and the pain. But I'm grateful that the very next thing we do and are able to do this morning is come to worship. So often when we come to worship, Christians have this idea in their minds that they need to put on a front and pretend that everything is okay, and that they're doing really well, and that all is hunky-dory with the world. But that is rarely ever the case, not even just today, but that is rarely ever the case. Instead, we are called to come and worship, and to come and be with one another where we are. We are called to bear one another's burdens, to share one another's joys. And that is the gift, that one of the gifts that we are given at the font, that we are adopted into God's family and we have the gift of one another. So in one another's presence today, let us be sad. Let us shed tears together. Let us wrestle and be in disbelief together, because I can't think of a better place for all of that than in worship. We have a few other announcements. We have been doing the angel tree. We've got a few bags already back. The remaining bags need to be back by this Tuesday so that Tina can pick those up and take them on Wednesday. So they need to be back here by Tuesday. This didn't make it into the bulletin by the time we printed it, but it'll be in next week's bulletin. The Horn family asks that you pray for Peggy Horn, Jim's mom. She is not doing well, and they ask that you pray for her. So that'll be in next week's bulletin, but still, pray for Peggy Horn. Lynn, did you want to make an announcement about the results of the annual meeting on November 21st? Thank you. So it seems like a while ago, but everything passed at the annual meeting on the 21st, and the four new council members are to be at the meeting tomorrow night at 7. This afternoon, there's some Christmas caroling at 2. Wednesdays during Advent, we have our Wednesday evening Advent service. We have two more of those, this Wednesday at 6:30 and the following Wednesday at 6:30. I'm very excited for next Sunday. Not only are we having the children's play, but it is going to be a children-centered worship. And so children will be taking part in the various elements of worship. And I think it's going to be a very meaningful Sunday as we continue to prepare our hearts and ourselves for Christmas. Are there any other announcements that I am leaving out? Oh, yes, thank you, Neil. In the bulletin, it says that the Lutheran Men in Mission will be meeting on the 27th. They have canceled that meeting, so no meeting for the men's group on the 27th. Say that again? That's right. The first gathering hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, our hymnal, and don't get me started on this, leaves out the fourth verse. So we've made copies of the hymn with the fourth verse at the bottom. Does anyone not have a copy of that page? Raise your hand and we'll have one of the ushers bring it to you. Okay. And finally, we have three prayer shawls. One for Anissa, one for Chris, and one for Karen. They need our prayers now and in the weeks and months to come. Carol, you want to grab that one? God, we give you thanks for the prayer shawl ministry here at Holly Grove, for those who donate yarn, for those who knit and crochet these prayer shawls. We come now to pray for and bless these shawls for Karen and Chris and Anissa, who are walking through some of the darkest days of their lives. May our love and prayers for them be a light to them in this darkness. Comfort them, be with them, surround them with your love and presence, and help us to be your hands and feet as we love and care for them in the days and weeks to come. When they are surrounded with these prayer shawls, may they feel the weight of our prayers, of our love, and our care. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait, in the presence of one another, we confess our sin before you. We fail in believing that your good news is for us. We falter in our call to tend your creation. We find our sense of self in material wealth. We fear those different from ourselves. We forget that we are your children and turn away from your love. Forgive us, Blessed One, and assure us again of your saving grace. Amen. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, inheritors of the eternal promise, and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, rejoicing in your salvation. May we bring forth the fruits of repentance through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking this morning, today is the third Sunday of Advent. It is known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. I don't know if any of y'all took Latin growing up. It's Latin for rejoice, and it comes from today's epistle lesson. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And when I was driving back to my apartment in the middle of the night, I kept thinking, this is terrible. I think I need to go home and rewrite my sermon, and tomorrow is supposed to be Joy Sunday, Pink Candle Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. How can we rejoice? And then I remembered the truth of what I am preaching today, that the joy that God gives us is not dependent upon our circumstances. The joy we have in the Lord is not a superficial or artificial happiness. It's not a cheerfulness. It's a deep, abiding joy of knowing who God is, of who God is in Christ as Christ comes to us as a child, of knowing that Christ is the light of the world and comes into our lives and into the darkness that we face and lights up our lives and our world. And so each of the four candles on the Advent wreath, they have a meaning. The first Sunday, we lit the candle symbolizing the hope that we have in God, the hope that God came to us in Christ Jesus, and the hope that we have knowing that Christ will come again. Last week, we lit the candle symbolizing peace, the peace that we have in God, knowing that God is always with us and that God fulfills all of God's promises. A peace that passes understanding. Today we light the third candle, the pink candle. The pink candle symbolizes joy. And you might think, why is there a pink candle when all the others are blue? The others are blue because blue is the color of the sky. Thank you, Gracie. Blue is the color of the sky. Right at dawn before the sun rises, the hope of a new day, the hope of the new dawning of Christ, the hope we have in Christ is symbolized in this blue, that the dawn will come, that the light of God will shine on us forever. But waiting is hard, and Advent is hard, and doing the work of repentance to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ is hard work. And so on the third Sunday of Advent, we take a brief pause to remember the joy that we have in the Lord, the joy that we have knowing that God came to be with us in human form in Christ Jesus, in the vulnerableness and in the intimacy of a child, of an infant. And we have joy knowing that Christ will come again, and that when he does, we will all have the resurrection of the body, and we will forever be at home with God. Death cannot undo joy. Joy is different than happiness. Sorrow and death and grief and loss cannot undo the joy that we have in God. Joy is not something that we have to sit and muster and come up with on our own. It is one of the gifts that God gives us. And so today, in a world of shadows, we seek illumination. As we wait in the darkness of dawn of night, we look for dawn in the sunrise. weighed down by grief and sadness. We desire the comfort and hope of God's presence. God of light and darkness, in this season of short days and long nights, help us remember that you are always with us. Give us strength to work for your kingdom, living in hope and joy as we wait for Christ to come again. Amen. And so today, on the third Sunday of Advent, in the face of sadness and grief and loss, we light a candle of joy. In the face of darkness and fear, we light a candle of joy. May the light from this candle overwhelm the world. May the light from this candle say to all God's people that God's joy is coming on earth, already as it is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, be not afraid. God's joy is near.
I'm just going to take 1 minute to talk about Rob in a second. I don't know if any of you ever listened to his message on his phone, but it ended up with sympathy. And I asked him what that meant one time, and he talked about living with honor. And if we had to look in Webster's dictionary under living with honor, the example would be Robin. He did live with honor, and that's what we need to remember after he's gone, is that he did live with honor. The first reading is from Zephaniah, the third chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the people of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. The responsive reading today is from Isaiah, and it will be bolded on the screen for what you should read. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. Lord is my strength, my might, and has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations. Proclaim that this name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion.
For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
The second reading for today is from Philippians, the chapter 4. Rejoice the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of the Lord, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And when the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. I forgot to do something in the announcements, so I was hoping that you could help me. I forgot to recognize the birthdays. So we have three birthdays this week: Brandon Hedrick, Greg Kepley, and Johnny Fritz. Would you guys help me sing happy birthday to them? Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brandon, Greg, and Johnny. Happy birthday to you. I love to sing. Do you guys like to sing? Yeah? Where are some places or times that you like to sing? In the car? Is that what you said, Isabel? No, did somebody say some? Did you say in the car? Absolutely, in the car. Does anybody sing in the shower? Yes. Does anybody sing at bedtime? Or did you used to sing at bedtime? Maybe you sang some lullabies or your mommy or daddy sing to you? Do your mommy and daddy sing to you at bedtime, Cameron? they do? You listen to rain as you're preparing for bed?
Sometimes.
Well, I really love to sing, and there's a verse in one of the readings that Miss Carol just read that in a different translation, it says this, that God rejoices over us with singing. Do you think God would be able to hit the high notes? Calvin thinks God would be able to hit the high notes. What do you think it means that God rejoices over us with singing? It's kind of a neat thing to think about. Yes, Calvin?
Maybe he's like happy for us. Maybe like, hey, we're celebrating your birth because you were born. I bring you into the world. I'm just with this day. I created you. So I'm happy that you are alive now.
So Calvin said that God sings because God is happy with us, that God created us, and that God says, I sing because I created you and because I am happy you're alive. And I think that's a pretty good description of what it means that God rejoices over us with singing. That God loves us so very much. And God has a lot of ways that God can tell us that God loves us. And one of those ways is singing over us, like our moms and dads sing song to us. And I think one of those things that God might say when God sings over us is one of the things that God says to us when we're baptized, and that is, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And so that's one of the things I think that God sings over us. God wants us to know and to be assured that God loves us. So, Calvin, you are God's beloved son, and God sings over you with rejoicing. Yes, Calvin's birthday is coming up. He almost shares a birthday with Jesus. That's right. Gavin, you are God's beloved son, and God rejoices over you with singing. Isabel, you are God's beloved daughter, and God rejoices over you with singing. Cameron, you are God's beloved son, and God rejoices over you with singing. Gracie, you are God's beloved daughter, and God rejoices over you with singing. Rosala, you are God's beloved daughter, and God rejoices over you with singing. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today, and thank you for each other. Thank you that in the waters of baptism, that you adopt us as your children. Help us to hear you sing over us. Help us to listen to your voice, telling us that you love us and that we are your beloved children. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's true of all of you, by the way, too, that you are God's beloved children and that God rejoices over each and every one of you with singing. There's a lot that goes into putting the bulletin together. There are a lot of moving parts and pieces, and it can be very easy to make a mistake, a typo, a punctuation error, misspellings, you name it. Here are a few funny instances of this happening in church bulletins, thankfully not ours. This being Easter Sunday, we will ask Mrs. Lewis to come forward and lay an egg on the altar. Mr. Bradford was elected and has accepted the office of head deacon. We could not find a better man. The outreach committee has enlisted 25 visitors to make calls on people who are not afflicted with any church, instead of affiliated, of people who are not afflicted with any church. Potluck supper Sunday at 5, prayer and medication to follow. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin instead of sing. Come prepared to sin. Hymn, I need three every hour. I remember one time when I opened a bulletin and was giving it the first once-over glance, and I was taken aback at what I thought must have been a huge error. It was the funeral bulletin for one of the dearest and most significant people in my life, Grace Nelson. Although Grace lived to be in her 90s, she still died too soon, and the world did not have her long enough. She lived out her name. She was Grace embodied. At her funeral, the gathering hymn was listed as Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And when I first glanced through the hymn and saw that, I was stunned and felt taken aback and thought, well, this is a pretty huge error that somebody had made. How could we sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee at her funeral? I was heartbroken at her death, and so was her family and her friends and her church family. But sure enough, the pastor didn't make an announcement that there was a typo, and as the gathering hymn, we sang together, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. But I couldn't sing the song because I was so moved and overcome at how beautifully and perfectly that hymn fit her life and her funeral. Grace knew that even in the midst of pain and sadness, in the midst of sorrow and heartbreak, that we still have joy in God. She believed so fully and deeply in the resurrection that even her death was cause for joy, because through it, Jesus Christ had raised her to eternal life, and she was forever home in the presence of God. I think she wanted to remind us all of that. Grace, who also knew deep pain and sorrow in her own life, knew that pain and sorrow cannot undo or take away the joy that we have in the Lord. The joy in the Lord we have is because God is with us, and because God holds us and carries us in the midst of our pain and heartbreak. These words hit me every time I hear them and sing them. Love divine is reigning o'er us, leading us with mercy's hand. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life. Because of what I realized in singing this hymn at Grace's funeral, this hymn was sung at my ordination. It was sung at my installation here. I will forever remember us singing it the morning after Robin died. And someday it will be sung at my own funeral, reminding those in attendance that death and loss and grief cannot take away the joy that we have in the Lord. Today is the third Sunday of Advent. As I mentioned earlier, it's called Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice, and it comes from the reading in our epistle lesson today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. We join with countless other churches all over the world this day, lighting our pink candle as a symbol for the joy that we have in God. And the joy that we have in God is not and cannot be based on our circumstances. It is based on who God is, on what God is doing, and what we know God will do. We know that God is love and faithfulness and mercy, and that God keeps all of God's promises and comes to us over and over again. We are all longing for joy. If joy were up to us, I think that Advent might be the hardest time of year to be joyful or to have joy. Because for one reason or another, we are all overwhelmed and stressed. This is our second pandemic Christmas, and people are chomping at the bits because they want this Christmas to be normal. But it can't be, because we are still in a pandemic, and that makes people frustrated. It actually makes them mostly sad, but it's often so hard to sit with our sadness and grief that it's easier for people to express that as unhappiness and anger. Always in Advent, our schedules are too busy because we fill them too full. Full of good things, but still too full. And so we are overwhelmed and overcommitted and exhausted. Financially, Advent is a stressful time because we often want to do more and spend more than we should or than we are able to, because we're trying to keep up with impossible and an unrealistic standard of spending. And there has been, and there is, some really hard stuff happening in the world and in our community. I can hardly bear to look at the images of the devastation in Kentucky from the tornadoes, and the death toll keeps rising and rising. I think about the people and children in our own community who are hungry and don't have enough food to eat. And then there's the hard stuff that is personally happening in our lives. People who are unemployed or underemployed, difficulties and challenges in relationships and in families. Many in our church family have lost a loved one in the last few months and are slogging through the pain of this first Christmas since the death of their loved one or loved ones. And then we are heavy-hearted at the death of Robin Beck. There are so many reasons why Advent and Christmas are hard. For so many of us, it's difficult to have a happy holiday or a Merry Christmas or think about a cup of cheer. But then we might feel guilty that we're not happy or merry or cheerful, because aren't we supposed to be during this time of year? No. It's okay if you don't feel happy or cheerful or merry. God doesn't call us or even ask us to be these things. Instead, God reminds us that God is faithful and that God is with us in the pain and difficulty of our lives and circumstances. And God gives us the hope and peace and joy and love that can only be found in Him. Thank goodness joy isn't up to us to muster, because it can be awfully hard to manufacture or produce. But instead, joy is God's gift to us. And the joy we have is not based on our circumstances, but on who God is and what God is doing. In this season of Advent, we are watching and waiting and hoping for Christ to come. We wait for the Christ child, joining our hearts and minds with the faithful people of long ago who waited and watched and hoped for the promised Messiah, the one for whom John the Baptist announced would be coming, the one who is the Word, who became flesh and dwelt among people. And we wait for the coming of Christ that is yet to be at the end of time. Christ will come and will gather up God's beloved people and will mend what sin has torn apart. And in the lyrics of Joy to the World, which we are going to sing together in just a little bit, the present tense verbs remind us and assure us that there is a present Advent as well, because Christ comes to us here and now. Every day is an Advent because Jesus is Emmanuel. God comes to us in the waters of baptism. God comes to us in bread and wine. God comes to us in the community of faith. May we hear the angels sing and proclaim good tidings of great joy, because for unto us a Savior is born. This is news that is good and is cause for great joy. God has come to us and abides with us now and forever. Amen.
Awake, awake, and pray when you born, full of angels' praise.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose. And watching, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. Holy God, renew your church and raise up leaders who announce your good news. Grant peace to congregations and seminarians in the midst of transition. Guide the work of candidacy and call committees. Hear us, O God. Creating God, your Spirit brought forth the earth and all that is in it. Breathe life into us, that we are inspired to live in harmony with one another and the planet. Hear us, O God. Shepherding God, you lead your people in paths of righteousness. Raise up your prophets in our own day who warn us against captivity to greed and point us to the freed found in generosity. Hear us, O God. Nurturing God, you come near in times of worry and need. Cradle us in your arms that we trust you and are not afraid. Attend to any who are hungry, imprisoned, or ill this day, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Duty, John, Karen, Bobby, Mike, Carolina, and our friends and families listed in the bulletin, and those who we name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Rejoicing God, you exalt over us in singing. Enliven the song of this assembly and bless the ministry of church musicians. With instruments and dance, join our voices to the song of all creation. Hear us, O God. We give you thanks for your servants who showed us your goodness and grace, especially Robin. By the power of your Spirit, keep us steadfast in your faith until we make our home with you. Hear us, O God.
God of new life, you come among us in places that we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. God of our waiting and watching, we offer the gifts of our hearts and our lives to the service of all your people. Prepare the way before us as we meet you in this simple meal. Through Jesus Christ, our pathway and our peace.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness, and so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in Jesus' death and resurrection. We look with hope for your coming among us. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people and fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to Christ's banquet. Feast on God's grace.
Amen.
please stand? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Most High God, you have come among us at this table by Spirit's power from us to be bearers of your word, sharing gifts of mercy and grace with all, through Christ Jesus, our host and our guest. Amen.
The God of all hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ for whom we wait. Amen.
Share our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, Christ is near.